do? Can we be a little less formal? I think not. I had to find my magic thing. Okay. What do you think of when you see this? Love. You always have love. Oh, I'm going to need my notes. I'm clever. I'm not that clever. Well, allow me to apologize in advance for music lovers in the building, but I want to share something with you. There's nothing you do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do but can learn how to be with you in time. It's easy. All you need is love. Lennon McCartney. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? I have a second one for you. Love one another. Jesus. Very popular, love. It's all over the place. But is it really all you need? And if it is, what is it? That's why I want to spend time with you today. What is love? To the world, it's things like strong affection, attraction, admiration. In tennis, it means zero, which is fascinating. I want to look that up. I didn't get a chance. I'm a data junkie, but I don't know why it's called love, but it is. We were watching soccer. In soccer, zero is nil. I always thought that was a neat thing. USA won 3-0 yesterday. Anybody know who this gentleman is? Wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, the Screwtape Letters. That's C.S. Lewis, Clive Staples Lewis. He wrote a book called The Four Loves, and in it he described four kinds of love. We're going to talk about the last two. The first was one called storge, which is the modern Greek is fondness. I'm familiar with you. We have kind of a love relationship. The second is eros. That's the being in love. And think about the words, I fell in love. You know, there's an old rock song called Love Hurts. The guy sings that. Sounds like it's going to hurt you if you ever hear him sing it. It sounds like he's going to, his trachea is going to come out of his mouth, you know, with some of those high notes. Is that Nazareth? I think it was Nazareth. But I'm smitten. Then there's two more, philia and agape. They're the ones we're going to look at. Philia is we call Philadelphia brotherly love. And philia talks about somebody who shares a common interest or activity, something we share. You have somebody who does things, you do it. You feel connected to them in a funny way. When I work with clients on resume development, I often encourage them to include some personal data that isn't too weird. You know, on their resume, I had a client who once actually single-handedly refinished a baby grand piano. I just thought that was kind of an interest. And if somebody else had done something like that, I'd say, boy, what was that like, you know? All those, you know, those little buttons and things like that they work with. It's friendship if there's something to be friendly about. And you should know that God in Christ did practice phileo, when he went to visit Lazarus' family after Lazarus died. Remember the shortest verse, if you ever memorize verses in Scripture, Jesus wept is the shortest one in Scripture. And what did they say after they saw that? They said, behold how he loved him. Had a deep, deep relationship. The second one is agape. You've heard about it. It's all over the place. It's directed towards somebody's neighbor, but I want you to watch this. It's not dependent on any lovable qualities. See, philia means we've got a connection. Agape says it's just love. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. The greatest of all virtues, you probably noticed that Phileo is used 29 times in the New Testament. Agape is used over 100 times. And that's the one I want to spend time on, because that's the one I want to talk about whether or not we need it. Okay, here's a question. Is God love? I see bumper stickers that say that. God is love. I read bumper stickers a lot, so, which is why I never put one on my car, because I'll probably put an Exthus, a Jesus, then I'll cut you off in traffic. So I'm not going to do that. What do you think? 1 John 4:8 says God is love. 1 John 4:8 says, he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Also 1 John 4:16 said, God is love. He that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. So yeah, God's love. So I love when people quote me stuff. I say, if you can show me chapter and verse, I'll believe it. There it is. Chapter and verse. So we know God's love. Man's love, a little bit different. A little bit different. My wife's hiding downstairs with the kids, probably because she thinks it's going to happen. She's late. Oh, my wife is late. Don't put that on the tape, okay? Can you erase that part? I told you before that sometimes my wife will say to me, how much do you love me? You know what my answer is? What do you want done? Because that's the next question. When we were in high school, I can still remember, once or twice God gives you a clever response. And I remember being on the second floor of our Danville Senior High School, and apparently I did something that displeased her, which I occasionally do. You're probably amazed by that, but it does happen. And she said, you don't love me anymore. Now, we were maybe 17 or 18, at the, I don't know. And I said, no, I don't love you any less. Great answer, huh? I tell you. I don't know if she even remembers that. I still remember doing that. But man wants to know what you get. How much do you love me? What do you need done? I'll show you, okay? Right? In Luke 11:42, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, the most religious, the most devout individuals of his time. And he's talking to them, and he says this, but woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. You do all these marvelous things, all these things, but you pass over judgment and the love of God. These things ought to have done, leave the other undone. They pass, the Greek word says, they just walked right by it. Like, it's kind of like the story of the Good Samaritan. Oh, that guy's got a problem. You know, pick up speed. They saw it, but they didn't acknowledge it. John 5:42 says, I know you, that you don't have the love of God. Earlier verse, he says, you search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life. They're talking about me. What did Jesus say? You're reading about me, and you don't get it. And as a result of this, I know that you don't have the love of God. Why? Because it wasn't proved. It wasn't proved. Now, God's agape love, very different. Very different. It's that, first of all, it's an action verb. What brought on this teaching, I spent some time with us with the guys downstairs, as I went through the entire Bible, and to the best of my ability, I found every instance of God's love, either God himself or through Christ. And you know what I found out every time? Every time, something happened. I said, love you, love you. You ever close a conversation that way? And if somebody says, I love you, what do you say back? Love you too, right? I mean, you have to. That's required. Hey, who did that? Who did that? Did John forget to turn this on again? Thank you. I have no idea. Oh, my computer just rebooted. Be patient. We'll be back. I should change our church switch to an outlet. This happened to John once. Don't tell John this happened, because I always tell him that, John, computers do things that you did. Oh, you're going to see my password now. Everybody close your eyes. Yeah, I don't know if John listens to me or not. Every time it's an action verb. Every time. It's also a commandment. John 13:34 said, I have a new commandment. I love one another as I have loved you. I talked about this once before, because that's not a new commandment. As a matter of fact, I can show you other verses where Jesus says, I'm not giving you a new commandment. I'm giving you an old one you've had from the beginning. In the Greek word, there's palaios. It's where we get like ancient paleontology. This is older than dirt. But you know what's new about it? As I have loved you. We had never seen that. We had never seen that. The word there is kainos. The Greek there for kainos, new and better. There's two words in Greek for new. One is neos, means it's newer. Kainos means it's recent, unused, unworn, uncommon, unheard of. Until we saw how Christ loved us, we didn't know what that love was like. So that's what makes it new. Agapo, agapao, and phileo are the two verb forms. And there's a great story in John 21, verses 15 to 17, I want to show you. We talked about this once before some time ago. That shows the distinction. One of the beautiful things about the Greek language is that God chose it expressly so that everybody could understand. If you were literate at the time of the New Testament, you could read God's word because it came in Greek. It should have been in Latin because the Romans were in charge. The Romans accepted Greek. And the Greek language is so exact, you can almost cut your finger on the difference between them. And you won't see this so much in this, but this is Peter and Jesus. Now, this is after his resurrection. They're chatting. This is soon before Peter is going to deny Christ. And listen to these three verses. So when they had done, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Joseph, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Feed my lambs." He said, "You know I love you." Jesus says, "Okay, do something." 21:16, he says to him the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep." Verse 17, the last time, he said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Love thou me?" And he said unto thee, "Lord, you know all things. You're asking me a question you know the answer to. I love you. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Here's the question. Why was Peter so upset? The Greek word there is lupe. He was cut to the quick. And when you read that in English, what does it look like? Jesus kept answering, asking the same question. "Do you love me? Do you love me? Prove it, prove it." But when you look at the Greek, you see the distinction. See, what happened was the first two times Jesus said, "You love me," with an agape love. And Peter said, "I'm devout to you. I phileo you. You know, we have a lot in common. It's a deep," and that's a very powerful love, by the way. There's nothing wrong with phileo love. The second time, Jesus said, "Do you love me, agapao?" And Peter said, same thing. Third time, you know what Jesus said? Phileo. The third time, Jesus responded with Peter. That's what grieved him. He knew. And by the way, what happened soon afterwards? He denied him. He said, "Everybody, not me, Lord." You know, you gotta love Peter. Impulsive. You know. He was ready, shoot, aim, right? But Jesus knew what was going to happen. He said, "Satan's going to desire to sift you like wheat, but when you come back, you know, it'll come back." And that's what happened. That's the distinction there. Agapao is tough love. You know, we talk about tough love. You know, we talk about tough love with kids. You know. I know we hear they want rules, but boy, they sure buck on them, don't they? You know, we give them rules, and we know they need them, and we get older, sooner or later they do appreciate it. You know, it's fun. I once told somebody, "I want to live long enough to be a burden to my kids," and somebody assured me I already had, which I'm still trying to figure that out. But it's the only love that's commanded. You are never commanded to have phileo love. You can't have relationship love. You can't. It grows. Love your enemies. Some people I like to love more than others. There's some people are hard to love. Ephesians 4:15 says we should speak the truth in love. These are all agape, okay? These are all the real stuff. Not emotional. Emotions can grow out of it. This is real. This is my favorite one. Husbands, love your wives. You know, those of you who know my wife, she's a really sweet person. You have no idea the tears she shed out of concern for people in this church and other people she sees. She's everything I'm not. She's so soft-hearted and compassionate and concerned. Would you believe there are times when I have trouble loving her? And my suspicion is it goes both ways. Husband, love your wives. How important is this love? 109 times, that's a lot of love. Whole lot of love. That's Led Zeppelin. We won't use that. Well, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about it, doesn't it? Now, in the King James, it's called charity. We know that. We know it really means love. That's a King James word. Look at just a couple of verses. He said, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, have not charity or have not love, I'm become as a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. By the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith that I could remove mountains, have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. I'm nothing but noise. Talk is cheap. For a while, I'm old enough to remember the LUV love. Remember that? Chevy even made a little baby truck they called the Love. LUV. That's what a lot of the love is. How much do you love me? Well, we'll see. Because if you love me, I should see it. 13:13 says this, and now abides faith, hope, and love. These three. Greatest? Love. It's important. John 13:35, Jesus said, this is how thou know you're my disciples, you're going to love one another. And whenever you've connected with somebody and you realize you're on the same team, something happens, doesn't it? Tyler and I were watching some bowling yesterday. I still can't believe I'm watching bowling. But we were watching some bowling, and some guy bowled a perfect game. I can't do one strike in a row. This guy did 12. And they interviewed him afterwards. I don't even know the guy's name. But he said, yeah, I tried real hard, but by the grace of God, I got strikes. And Tyler and I looked at each other like, oh my gosh! We're connected at another level. That's how we prove it. And you know what? I've got some brothers and sisters in Christ. Nobody in this room, by the way. Loving is a real challenge. I say it's going uphill with the brakes on. So we ask God, how much do you love me, God? I'm going to let you sharpen your pencil for this one. I'm not going to show you all of them. I'm going to show you a bunch of them. I'm telling you, and if you want these, send me an email. I'll send you the PowerPoint. Look at these examples of when God proved his love. Unbelievable. First one, the easiest one, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Watch this. Love gave. Something happened. God, how much do you love me? I gave my son. That whoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. That's some gift. That's just one. John 13:31. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Loved them to the end. I'm always working on sermons in my head. Usually when I'm out running to try to cut off the pain or the discomfort, you know, I was listening to a tape there. I just said, you know, Jesus starts what he finished. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He starts it, he finishes it. If God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Right? He said he loved them all the way to the end. John 17:23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect or complete in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them. How does the world know that you love them? Because you sent me. That's proof. Remember what C.S. Lewis said? I'll remind you. Here's what he said about agape love. He said that it is love that does not depend on any lovable qualities in the object of the love. And Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did he wait till we were nice? He'd be still waiting for me. I don't know about you guys. Some of you are pretty nice, but he would still be waiting for me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. That word for commend is a great word in Greek. Synestao, it means to put together. It's like he took me and his love and he put them on the same line. That God commended, he connected my love, his love with me. Galatians 2:20. Great, great. Every one of these is another sermon. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. Paradidomi is a Greek word there. It means to deliver over, to hand over. He gave it up. He gave it up. Remember in the garden, in his passion, he said, if it's possible for this cup to pass, if not, not my will, but yours be done. That was the ultimate obedience. Christ didn't have to learn obedience. He didn't have to learn to behave. Everybody here had to learn to behave. I guarantee it. Some of you might have learned better than others. I learned pretty fast because I was kind of a milquetoast kid. So I just did what I was told. I mean, I stop at red lights in the middle of the night and wait for it to turn green when there's nobody out on the roads. I just do, because that's a red light. And it means stop. It doesn't mean slow down or pretend. So, but he delivered himself over, gave himself over for me. He loved and gave himself for me. Ephesians 1:14 says, according he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, should be holy and without blame before him in love. How do you know God loved you? He picked you. He chose you. Why? I spoke on that a while back. I was looking at my old notes. Do you remember why God chose us? I said, let me explain to you why God picked you. Because you don't qualify. That's why. Isn't that amazing? The only way you can qualify for God's love is to not deserve it. Because if you deserved it, you would have earned it. You would be part of it. Now, we want to listen, but because of his love. Ephesians 2:4 through 6 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, both loves, same loves, both times, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened, that's King James talk for make alive, has made us alive together with Christ, by grace you are saved, has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I said, they're all sug words. In Greek, there's a prefix, S-U-G, in English. Sug means with. And every three of those words have that with at the beginning. So in other words, we were enlivened with him, we were raised up with him, and we sit together in the heavenly place. I know we're sitting in Bougainville. Some of you guys probably didn't know where Bougainville was until you got here today. Don't worry, there's people in the neighborhood that don't know where Bougainville is. So, those of you who know, we had a lady find us in Bougainville on the internet, and she lived in Bougainville. So, I give you an idea. I talk to people all the time and say, where are you going to church? I go to Salem Church in Bougainville. Where's that? Near Farmersville. Oh, okay. You know, thanks to Floyd Landis, everybody knows Farmersville. Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself. That's our same word. He delivered himself over as a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. 1 Thessalonians 2:6. Actually, that should be 2nd. That's a typo there. I'll have to fix my PowerPoint. I thought I checked this morning. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and hope. Everybody wants hope. You know, hope, popular, it's a political sign. You know, hope, we want hope. We want to hope for something. Well, the blessed hope is the return of Christ, and that's demonstrated in his love. Titus 3:4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. He appeared. Greek word there means it made it visible. It just showed, we didn't know it was there. And there, oh, there it is. Okay. How do you know that? Remember, what are we saying? God, how much do you love me? How much? What love God has showed upon us. What manner of love his Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not because it knew not him. Incredible to be called the sons, the technos. The children of God, sons and daughters of God. So what kind of love is that? Wow. Greek words, idu. It's like, wow, here it is. Look at this. Look at this. 1 John 4:10. And this was manifested, same word, the love of God. God sent his only son, and we might live through him. And also, he be sent as a propitiation. That's a fancy, fancy word. You don't see that much. Kind of fun to say, propitiation. You know, but the Greek word there is the word holosmos. It's the word used for the mercy seat in the ark where God came down. And literally what it's saying is, God's satisfied. Is he satisfied with us? Not in ourselves. But he's satisfied through the sacrifice of Christ. As I said, God sees us through Jesus-colored glasses. He looks through the glasses and he doesn't see me, which is really good. Because there's not much worth seeing in me. But he sees the righteousness of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, Scripture says. And last but not least, we love him. Why? He loved us first. Now you could say, well, I love you back. Okay, fine, then I got the start. But we are responding to God's love. Why do we love him? Because he loved us. because he loved us. Look at all these examples. It's amazing. He sent, he gave, he delivered, he appeared, he presented. You almost can't find a single reference to God's love in the Bible where God isn't demonstrating his love back to us. Amazing. Amazing. That raises a big question, I think. Here it is. That's some love. Where's it coming from? Now, I suspect there are times when all of you, particularly with young children, with babies, or with folks you care for deeply, and as we lose people, as they get translated to heaven and we miss them, those types of things, where's it come from? I know one place it doesn't come from. You want to guess where? Don't come from you. Romans 8:7 says the carnal mind, or the mind outside of God, is enmity. The Greek word there, ekthros. If you ever read any of the stories by Madeleine L'Engle, she wrote Many Waters and some great story. Actually, I have some great quotes from Madeleine L'Engle. She talks about the ekthros, the enemy. She's using a Greek word. We're naturally in opposition to God. But God steps in. That's another study, by the way. Go through an English Bible sometime. We won't do it today. And look up how many times "but God" shows up. God gets in the way all the time. I spoke on this once before because I had a friend who said that he doesn't think God intervenes in our lives. And I said, I'm glad he does. Because frankly, that's my own device. I'd be in worse shape than I am now. So God intervenes. And look what happened in Ezekiel 36:26. He says, a new heart I will also give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. A heart that's, Gill, a great commentator, says, a heart sensible of sin and danger, penitent, soft and tender through the love and fear of God, spiritual and sanctified heart, submissive to God's will, flexible to his commands. That's the kind of heart that God gives us at salvation. So the potential does exist there. 1 Corinthians 3:3 says we're the epistle of Christ. Written not in ink. Didn't write in ink. But wrote it with the spirit of the living God in tables of stone, but not in table, but in fleshy tables of the heart. That's it. God has engraved it in us. So where does this come from? Galatians 5:22, right? The fruit of the Spirit is... I wish I had a drum roll here. Guess which the first one is? Love! Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, make... all those. Okay, we start with love. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. The word for shed abroad means to pour forth, to bestow, to just gush over, like it can't be contained. Trying to put 5 gallons in a 1 gallon container, it's not going to work. Just keep pouring down the side. Love of God, it just gushes over, to gush forth, to run greedily, to shed forth. Love of God is by the Holy Spirit, constantly. And it's interesting that this very love, this agapao love that we're talking about, all starts, it's a gift. The fruit of the Spirit. So is love really all you need? What do you think? It's God's love, you betcha. I like other love. I like, as I get older, I get softer. I was talking to somebody at work about an old Paul Simon song called Graceland. He said, why am I so soft in the middle? Well, the rest of my life is so hard. That's an interesting statement. I'm not just soft, I'm soft all over. My wife and I are reading, it's called Night Light. It's a devotion for couples in the evening. And I get so annoyed when I'm reading some of these stories and my voice starts to crack. I can't finish these. I can't read them out loud. I mean, that's so annoying. I'm supposed to be tough and hardy and handle it. And more it happens, and sometimes I'll be listening to an old hymn. I grew up in the Baptist church, so I know all the verses to everything. I know all 75 verses are just as I am. There aren't 75, but you keep singing until everybody comes forward, right? If they don't come forward, keep going. And my dad's favorite song was "When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There." And I have a version of that by Kelly Joe Phelps with slide guitar that I can't listen to. I have to pull over the car. I got chills right now talking about it. It's just amazing. You know, when the roll's called thunder, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, time shall be no more. And I always think about Dad when I do it. And I'm so stinking soft. It just really annoys me to no end. But even so, doesn't compare to God's love. Doesn't compare at all. Look at Romans 8, 35-39. He says, okay, let's look at this love and let's see what happens. This is an incredible, incredible list. He says, well, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? By the way, these are great word studies. The tribulation, you know. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, right? But what did he say after that? But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Distress? Anybody heard of distress? I bet you. Right now. Is he going to be done in time? Because I got a turkey. You'd eat turkey now. We're having spare ribs. Come on over. She made like tons. Persecution? Getting picked on? Read the paper. Christianity's not real popular. I was listening to Steve Brown tape the other day, and he said, you know what? You know what Christians need to realize? We have always been the minority. The Christian faith, although it's part of what our country was founded on, we were never in the majority. Never. And you know what? That's good. Because since now we know we're not in charge, we have to do it God's way. Isn't that much better? But we think about being persecuted. We get persecuted, somebody looks at us funny if we pray in. We pray in a restaurant. Do you know that the people in China are praying for us? I mean, these people are getting drug out of their houses and in prison. They're praying for us. They're not praying for themselves. Well, persecution? How about famine? We don't really appreciate that here. We really don't. As a matter of fact, if I can't get three helpings, I think, I'm starving. Oh, really? Are you? I don't see your ribs. You're starving. You're doing it good. How about nakedness or inability to clothe yourself? How about peril? Or sword? And that is happening in place. It's happening in Egypt now. But you know what? Nope. None of those. We conquer overwhelmingly. This is one of my favorite verses. Actually, this is a password I use sometimes. The Greek word is hupernikao. Some of you know this story, but you're going to have to listen to it anyway. Nike is not a shoe. It is. But Nike is the Greek word for victory. When Pheidippides, at the end of the Battle of Marathon, ran back to announce victory, he ran, it was about 50 miles, but it wasn't 26.2, that's where I stopped. And boy, do I stop. But it was about 50 miles, he ran to announce victory. He cried out, Nike, and you know what he did after that? He dropped over dead. You know, maybe there's something to be learned there. That's Nike, victory. Nikao is the verb. Hooper Nikao is to conquer overwhelmingly. And in the King James that says, we are more than conquerors, that does not do that verse justice. That's an okay translation, but really what it's saying is, we conquer in overwhelming manner. It's a present active indicative, means it's a constant thing through him who loved us, in the middle of that verse. How about some other things? He says, okay, I am persuaded, I have been convinced. The Greek word there, patho, means to be convinced. That neither death, you know, I was blessed to have the opportunity to visit with Jerry's family briefly at the passing of his mom. I still think about my dad's passing. We say, we sorrow. Can't we sorrow? We miss these people. I still miss my dad. I do. I told you, Rolls Call Up Yonder, it wrecks me. I think about things at times, and my wife was very close to him. She was really the dad he knew. What a great guy. Sure wasn't perfect. Matter of fact, I've told you before, I have the tape of my speaking at his memorial service. I don't even know where it is, and I've never listened to it, and I don't think I could make it. I remember what I said. I said, I caught myself humming in a store. My dad hummed all the time. I hum and whistle. It's kind of good you're around corners. People don't run into you, you know, sometimes. You know, we get these one of these tragic office accidents where you have a head on. And I realized that I was doing my dad. And I thought, you know what? I could do worse. That's all I remember. I can't. Death passed, but I know he's up there hanging out with my grandma Lucy. That's another one I can't handle. I know they're hanging out together. How about life? Sometimes death is better. Life is better than life. I told the group this morning, I said, my mother said there would be days like this. She didn't tell me they'd all be like this. You know, I often tell my clients, I meet them at very sad times, you know what, life's not like the brochure. Nothing is. Stand-up comedians have plenty of material. Just read the paper. There's something going on. You can't make this stuff up. The lady who sued McDonald's because the coffee was hot. Okay, now we got signs on the... I said, caution, hot. I think I knew it, okay? And I'm pretty sure things that are scalding hot shouldn't be dumped in your lap. But she won a lawsuit for that. There's a student in New York University who's suing her college because they didn't get her a job. She spent $70,000 on her degree, and she's not employed, and it's their fault. And now she's suing. I don't think that one's going to make it. But life is insane. There's a sticker in my office that says, reality is the leading cause of stress. I like that. How about angels? You know, or principalities, people in power, or powers, or things present, or things to come, or height, or depth. You think he's missed anything? One more. Or any other creature. None of them can separate us from the love of God. None of them. That's quite a litany. Frankly, I would like to skip virtually all of them. I don't see any up there I'm interested in. But he says, nothing, who can, none, and I conquer overwhelmingly, and I am convinced that none shall separate. So we can never ask God, how much do you love me? Why? That's why. John 3:16, for God so loved, at a point in time, he took action, the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, uniquely born Son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have everlasting life. I can ask my wife what she wants done when she says, how much do you love me? I can't ask God that. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come here today. The extraordinary love that's totally beyond our power, but is our gift through the fruit of the Spirit. Help us to look to you for that love, to thank you for it, and to practice it when we can. You said through your Son that by this, people know our disciples. We love one another. Help us to demonstrate that love to those that are lovely and to those who are not lovely, because that's what you did with us. In Jesus' name, amen.